And then after the guy got to where he was going, he gets out of the car, walked around to open it for his passenger, and there in the handle was the rusty hook.
Wait, I've heard that one before.
I mean, you know, it's a classic. It's still scary, though. I'm sure. I mean, do you have, like, maybe a story we haven't heard before?
I'm pretty sure, and this one is based on a true story.
It's based on that? Like the TV show Dexter?
Is Dexter based on a true story?
It's based on a true fictional book. That's what you're talking about, what? Right?
Oh, no. No. This happened to two guys just like us on a night just like this, and they were podcasters, too.
I can relate.
I call this the tale of the phone groaner.
Is it the phone groaner?
The phone groaner.
It's like a guy who makes obscene phone calls?
No. That's the phone moaner.
Oh, okay. Different guy.
Yeah, this is the phone groaner. They get confused all the time.
Okay. Then are they like friends, or do they hate each other?
They hate each other so much.
I bet there's probably like some like legal issues between them because, you know, they're so similar in name.
Well, the phone moaner is committing all sorts of obscene crimes, so we don't like him. The phone we don't like the phone groaner either. But the phone groaner, tales say, these are tales that I have looked into. They say that he comes to try to ruin you in various ways, and he is attracted to those who tell bad jokes.
But we like to tell bad jokes.
When we do it a lot and record it. I'm surprised he has not come for us yet.
Oh, man. So how, yeah. I mean, how do we know if he's coming for us? How do we stay safe?
Oh, they say that. Have you ever seen the movie The Ring?
Yeah, yes. A long time ago, I did see The Ring.
Well, if he senses you're telling bad enough jokes, you will hear your phone start to ring. And when you answer, you will only hear his groan on the other end of the line.
Okay. So I guess it's less like The Ring and more like one missed call.
What happens in one missed call?
I never saw it, but it's more like cell phone related for sure. I don't think there is an actual cell phone in The Ring.
Well, I mean, but in The Ring, you get a call saying 7 days.
Oh, do you get? It's been so long since I've seen it. Okay.
Yeah, no, you definitely get a spooky phone call.
And then also, spoiler for The Ring, The Ring is also named so because of the ring of light at the top of the well. Is that correct? Am I remembering this correctly?
Yeah, I do think it's more that than the phone ringing. Okay. Although I never thought about that before.
The real ring is the friends we made along the way.
I hope not.
Okay, but, all right.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, don't tell any bad jokes here, but I need to tell more of this story of the phone groaner and the time that he came for two podcasters just like us.
Okay, I sit forward and put my chin in my hands and listen with high intensity.
Wait, are you narrating now too, like our previous guest, Professor Werewolf?
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed fun when Professor Werewolf did it, so I thought I'd give it a try, too.
I mean, yeah, but this is a podcast, and we are real people who are doing actions. I mean, you do that in real life, do you?
Nah, I guess you're right. It's stupid when I do it. I'll just leave that to Professor Werewolf from now on.
Oh, yeah. So now I am going to stand up, as I'm doing right now, take out a pocket of this powder, and throw it on the fire so it flares up dramatically.
Oh, wait, what kind of powder was that?
I think this is anthrax?
Oh, no. We don't want to breathe that.
Oh, asbestos? I'll throw the asbestos on the fire.
I thought the kids on Are You Afraid of the Dark were throwing like cherry-flavored Kool-Aid.
Well, do you have some of that?
Always. Here. I keep it in this little Ziploc baggie.
Oh, thank you for handing me that baggie. I'm going to open it up as I'm doing now.
Okay, no, I hear it now. We definitely shouldn't narrate our actions.
Take out a handful and throw it on the fire as I tell the tale of the phone groaner.
everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of The Happy Cast with Ben and Brian. Happy Cast is your number one source for the things that make you happy, the things that bum you out, and everything in between. And sometimes we talk to a werewolf. I'm Brian, and joining me now is a man who has been perfecting his Paul Hollywood imitation, Ben. Ben, how are you?
That bottom is soggy.
Nailed it. Perfect. It's like he's in the room with us.
Pip, pip.
Hello, hello. It's me, Paul Hollywood.
That's how he talks, right?
Yeah, I think so.
My D&D players know that I am not known for my accent work. I have, but maybe 3-4 voices, but not accents.
Oh, okay. Can we hear? Can you share your 4 voices with the podcast audience right now? Here, I'll.
You're calling us such as?
Such as, yes. What is? Let's hear voice number one.
Hey, I'm a gruff guy. Ooh, hey.
That's pretty gruff. Okay, voice number two.
I'm an old person. I'm old.
Still kind of gruff, but also old. Number three.
I'm a little kid. I'm little.
Okay, yeah. Sounds small. I have the urge to instill you as the mayor of a small town. And voice number four.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm the DM who gives you the rulings.
Oh, I didn't expect one of the voices to just be your voice, but okay, that does make sense.
Use my own for something.
Okay. I mean, I think it's varied enough. I think you can probably use those to get by, right?
It's been more than enough for a lot of the campaign. There are sometimes occasional extra voices like Little Goblin or something, or like Blob Monster, but those aren't like regulars that I need to pull out of my hat. I don't keep voices in a hat. Scarf?
I mean, pull them out of the scarf.
And I would like to say one thing about your intro. You were accurate that we do sometimes talk to a werewolf, because we've done it twice if you count the Wharf Man.
It's a pattern now. On two separate occasions, we have talked to werewolves. So, I'm sorry, werewolves. But yes. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if we're allowed to say it like that because we're not.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Werewolves.
Oh, yeah. Also, I would like to clarify that Wharfman is W-O-R-F and not W-H-A-R-F.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't, like, live over on the pier?
No. At Pier 1 Imports?
He lives over at the Pier 1 Imports, yeah.
The good couches in there. A lot of shelves. Ours is closed down and is now a carpet store.
Oh, so a lot of good carpets then.
Maybe. I haven't gone in there, but that's neither here nor there.
So you can't vouch on the carpet quality.
No. Hmm.
All right. Well, we talked to werewolves. We're here. It's October, part of our spooky October series of podcasts. I don't feel very spooky today, Ben. Do you?
Not too much. I mean, I spent a lot of the day working on things I'll talk about in happy hour. I really would rather today be more of a Professor Werewolf visiting type day, because it was a howling good time.
Oh, no. Yeah, what's that? Oh, the emergency red podcast phone's ringing.
Oh, answer it.
Okay, this is over 100 episodes. It's the first time it's ever happened, but okay. Let me pick it up. Hello? That was weird, Ben.
Who was it?
I mean, it wasn't a person. It sounded like my cat when I step on its tail accident.
Was it your cat?
I don't think he was calling me, but that's what it sounded like. Like a howling cat.
Oh. Wait a second. No, it can't be. It can't be. No, surely not.
It can't be what?
The phone groaner?
Oh, you did make that awesome joke about howling good times.
Well, I mean, I think we're fine as long as we're a little just careful.
I mean, you know, could just be somebody playing a prank on us. One of our listeners just having a little bit of fun. This has Neil Orangepeel written all over it.
He talks like a cat that's angry that you stepped on his tail?
He's just trying to spook us, you know, to get us in the Halloween mood.
Oh, okay, if you say so.
All right, well, anyway, I guess let's just move on forward to happy hour. Happy Hour is the part of the show where we talk about what's making us most happy for the week. Ben,
hey,
I stole your thunder last week and went first, and now we're going to go back to the status quo, and we'll have you go and tell us what your happy hour is.
Give me that thunder back.
Here you go. Here's all the thunder. All this thunder belongs to you now. We're going to call you Thor.
Oh, my happy hour for this week is this weird money-making opportunity, which I saying it like that sounds like a scam.
It does sound like you're trying to scam the podcast, but I'm skeptically gonna let you continue.
Okay, well, it's not a money-making opportunity for all of you. It's only for me. Back off.
Oh no. So I can't make money off this opportunity?
I mean, you maybe could, but you'd have to like learn a thing or two.
Yeah, I'm 20% less interested, but still listening.
All right. Well, recently I've been looking into ways to earn some freelance extra money with the skills that I have.
Like podcaster.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I couldn't find a whole lot of those. Those are harder to find out there without suddenly like selling MeUndies and Magic Spoon and all that.
Sure, Blue Apron, Audible.com, all the hits.
Yeah, and we have our own set of sponsors that we are beholden to.
That's true. Okay, so you're talking about the skills that you picked up through your education.
Yes, my computer science degree stuff. Well, I found a few different places like this, but I found one with the creative name of data annotation. Whoa, wait, that's not spooky. Yay. What it seems to be primarily for is for people. So I should preface this by saying, I think I'm partway joining the enemy because people use it for projects when they're trying to train an AI on something.
Oh no, Ben, you know that the main goal of the podcast is to avoid Judgment Day, which is when the AI takes over the planet.
Is that Terminator?
As seen in the documentary Terminator 2.
Oh, no. And 3? Well, 2, I guess you only see part of it. 3, you see it happening, don't you?
I actually never saw the third Terminator movie. I'm going to say maybe.
I just remember not liking it as much as 2.
2 is very good. 1 is my favorite, but that's neither here nor there.
No. So it is used for, and it doesn't seem to be used in the evil way of like, let's replace everybody who does creative things with AI.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's a bad kind. But the website seems to be for a lot of projects, and there are all sorts of different categories here. A lot of them are things like, here is a prompt someone asked for. Review these two responses and answer like, which one is better and why, if they're accurate at all in the first place, if not what they should have been saying instead. It's not too difficult to do those, but I did a coding assessment thing where I had to code out some stuff, explain what was good and what wasn't, and what you should use when and why. And because of that, I unlocked like an extra set of problems that come out. And these aren't like regular consistent things. It's not like a full-time job type deal. It's definitely a extra money when it's there kind of situation. But when they pop up, you can not volunteer because you get paid. You answer all these types of or different types of things and keep track of your time. And when you're done, you log it. And in about a week, hopefully, I'm assuming it's legit from what I've looked up online before. In about a week, they verify what you've earned so far and pay you money.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good opportunity to make some extra cash. So is this something that you just recently started doing?
I just started yesterday, in fact.
Oh, wow. So this is brand new.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying hopefully I will get the money. But in a pretty short amount of time, I've already hopefully banked, I think, $188.
Okay. So they just go on the honor system for what you log as your time. They just say, oh, okay, this sounds right.
Well, the website knows how long you've been on the page, for one.
Okay.
So and yes, and some of the projects that you have the opportunity to do have a multiple steps. So you'll do one, it'll refresh, and you have another one. But the timer keeps going down the bottom corner. And so if you spend like 2 hours and you only do one simple thing, because they have to approve it. So I doubt they're going to approve ridiculous things without further inquiry, I guess.
Okay. So yeah, that sounds interesting for sure. So it seems similar to like, other kind of, it's like other gig work, like Uber, in that you can just decide one day, like, ah, I've got some extra time, I'd like to make some money, and just hop on and see what tasks are available.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what I was. I did some last night while we were listening to a podcast. I did this morning. I did some before we did some podcast prep, and then after podcast prep, which was before the podcast. And the good jobs, they pay like $30 to $40 an hour.
Yeah, that's good money, man. That's
yeah.
All right. Well, that's exciting then.
I mean, it's not a consistent full-time deal, but I mean, that's not that bad, especially because like some of them are kind of boring, like identify or here's the prompt and which one is better and which one isn't. But because I pass a coding assessment and I get like the slightly better, more complicated and higher pay job things, I get more interesting ones. And some of them are real weird. Like one is all about trying to just like trick the AI with a question that can be solved, but is difficult or is just far too many steps to solve.
Nah, so you got to stump the machine, eh?
Yeah, and they said they're trying to make like a new version of the Turing test because AI is getting too good. So sometimes it'll be something like, on the chess.com website or front page, how many green pieces are there? So you're giving it extra things to do. I think I had one. I wrote one that talked about in the 2014 D&D Monster Manual, in the Beholder entry, there's a flavor text attributed to what gnome sage?
That is very specific.
It is. And it's totally solvable for people that can know how to look stuff up. But it can be too many steps and can easily confuse an AI. Like here's example one that they give you. The author whose work was found in both the Shadows Beneath anthology and the 2014 World Fantasy Award for Best Anthology winner had a roommate in college who became famous. As of the end of 2022, what percentage of the author's most successful crowdfunding campaign did his former roommate's longest winning streak make, according to Wikipedia?
Ooh, yeah, no, there are definitely several places for it to get lost in that one. So is it, yeah, I can't even begin to parse what any of that means.
Yeah, it takes time to sit and figure it out. But does that remind you of anything, that style of question?
Honestly, the only thing it really reminded me of was the fact that Tommy Lee Jones and Al Gore were college roommates. But other than that, I don't know.
Wow, that is one inconvenient truth.
Oh, that's weird. This original iPhone that I keep as a reminder of how far we've come technologically. It's never run before, but I'm surprised the battery even works. I think
you think it's Neil?
I'm too freaked out, man. Here, you answer it.
Oh, all right, hold on. Nope, Brian, I don't know.
It sounded like a cat, right? A distressed cat?
I thought it was a sad cow who'd inhaled some helium.
I mean, that seems accurate, too. I can definitely see how you get to that.
So, all right, so we've narrowed it down to a distressed cat, a sad cow, Neil Orange Peel playing a prank, or the phone groaner.
I mean, I know which one of those that I least want to be true.
Neil?
No, the phone groaner.
Oh, I mean, not that I don't want Neil to call, but I don't want him to prank us like that.
Sure. And I don't want him to pay those crazy long distance rates, you know, all the way from the UK.
And the past, according to the phone that we were using.
Oh,
what?
Oh, my dog's freaking out now.
Oh, no.
I'm sure it's fine. She's never.
Potato?
Yeah, no, she's never barked during the podcast before. So we'll just. She's usually so well behaved. I don't know. Let's just keep going.
Okay. All right. Well, what I was going to say is that style of question reminds me of how I would sometimes write questions on the Aventus.
Oh, yes, yes. I can. Yeah, you're right. I get that.
Long, rambly, trailing questions that eventually get to a point, but it can be hard to figure out why am I doing that?
It's a long road to the actual question, which in itself also reminds me of like the you don't know Jack style question format.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, some of the projects were to make these questions. I saw some of those last night. But today I had one to review questions that had been written previously. So I got to see other people's questions, how the AI responded, which had to be wrong. If they ever got it right, you had to like write a harder question. And I had to independently verify if the prompter's answer was correct, because they gave what it was supposed to be.
Okay, were the questions any good?
Oh my, they were weird. There was one where I had to look up all of the video games that voice actor Matt Mercer of Critical Role, all of the video games that he's credited on in 2020, the PS4 versions, get their Metacritic scores, and say how many had an average between 82 and 85.
Oh yeah, that's overly complex.
It is, but it was like doing a weird internet research. Is a thing that I remember doing in junior high, where there was some sort of competitive tech thing. I think it was called Surf and Safari, where they put like clues on a bunch of different websites, and you'd go and like solve those clues, and they would give you like a treasure hunt, would tell you another place to go to and more information that you had to figure out, and then that would give you the next step. And it was always really weird, obscure stuff that wouldn't just be out there regularly.
It's like a digital scavenger hunt.
Yeah, thank you. That is a better way of saying it than how I said it. But that is true. And let's see, my favorite question that I saw today is ridiculous. Sorry if you hear planes in the background, by the way. The Air Force is using our airport or something, I guess. All right, let's see if you can solve this one. An anime TV series began its original release between the 14th and 16th of January 1989, and it has a fairy character with an instrument in her name. The same source material of this anime was used to create a Hollywood movie not long after that rhymes with a verb for viewing. A technology company was started by one of the richest men in the world whose last name is Gates. His company released a game machine, the second generation of which has three numbers in the name. Take the original production budget of that movie and divide it by the number you get when you remove the first two numbers of the game console from Y2K, round to five significant figures.
Clearly, the answer is 27, right, Ben?
It was 244, I think.
I was close.
You did have the two right.
Most of the way there.
But having to solve these like weird like internet research riddles, I thought was actually pretty fun, because I was getting paid $40 an hour to Google all this nonsense. So I don't care. I'll do that. Cool.
That is pretty cool. Then what was the anime that started in 1989 that was adapted to a Hollywood movie whose name rhymes with a synonym for viewing?
All right, so it's the anime is Nippon's Peter Pan that came out the 15th of January 89, and they're talking about Hook, which is rhymes with look.
Oh. Oof, okay.
So again, the original budget of that, the Bill Gates part was easy, but you need the 360, take off the zero, subtract 2,000 minus 36, and then there was another math thing I forgot I said in there somewhere where you put in the original production budget.
This seems like the kind of question that like you would put on a test as extra credit if you were like a cool high school teacher.
I mean, probably. That one I thought was fun. And, my favorite type of question I got, not question, favorite type of project is another one that I got last night that was all about games and riddles and puzzles. It was specifically like, here is a sample game or puzzle or riddle. It will give the prompt, which is a game, puzzle, or riddle, and they want the AI to like solve it step by step and break it down. And I had to identify where the first incorrect step was, write what the correct step should have been, and then have it continue and go through that until it finally gets to the correct answer. Which is a lot like tutoring from what I've done of that.
Sure, sure. That makes sense.
There was one that was about Sudoku with like weird aspects to it. There was one that was, I think, D&D dice probability themed. I just thought it was fun because I had to solve it first. I think one was like a NATO phonetic alphabet code. So I had to solve it to make sure I knew the answer. And then I had to like nudge this AI until it finally got there. And sometimes it didn't really get there. Five rounds in of doing that, and it still didn't get it. And I just had to give it the final answer. But I mean, getting paid to play with games and riddles and look up silly internet stuff. Sure.
I mean, that does kind of seem like a dream job.
Yeah. A dream freelance job, at least. It'll be some good podcasting money.
It's going to put some Lego on the table.
Oh, that's a good. Oh yeah. I forgot. I did joke with Megan and say that that's the primary reason.
Well, I mean, I'm excited to hear more about it. How much time do you plan on putting in this, like in a week, like a couple hours a day? Or are there certain days where, you know, you're just going to take it easy and focus on one of your danger walks?
Ooh, well, I have it so I can just kind of do it if I feel like it. Like I can even do it like if Megan's playing a video game next to me, I can just work on it a little bit because even like 15 minutes. It counts. I don't have to like hit a full hour every time. I can just do like one or two quick things and be done. Like what I've done so far, I've done, it looks like for 5.5-ish hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with about $190 for 5 hours.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
And that was just scattered in between podcast planning and playing the new Shrek DLC for Power Wash Sim, which that's a future happy hour, is Power Wash Sim.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely throw in on that, too. Great game.
I know. It's just good, clean fun.
So, all right. So, you said good, clean fun, didn't you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. I can't help it.
Oh, no. Look, in the storage closet behind you, the Juno hamburger phone, that's the one that's ringing now.
Juno Alaska?
Juno, J.K. Simmons' kid from the movie Juno.
Okay, all right, hold on, let me check. Oh, yeah, you're right, it is ringing. Do I take the bun off? I don't know how, I'm not the hamburger expert.
The receiver's between the tomato and the hamburger patty.
All right, let me answer. No, Brian, it's the sound again.
It's the phone groaner.
Or Neil.
I think it's that. I don't know, man. I'm freaked out now. We gotta, here's what we need to do. We gotta stop making these awesome jokes.
It's really hard.
I know. It's our favorite thing in the world to do, but until we figure out what's going on with the telephone situation, I think it's best.
I understand. I'll try my best, but it's really difficult.
I don't even know how they're getting these numbers. They all have different phone numbers.
I was about to ask, how do you have all these phone numbers? Is this because Chris worked for a phone company?
Yeah, he set up a bunch of like extra lines for me just in case. It's for podcasting reasons. We can't get into it.
I have a quick question then. What sound does the Lost Unlocked phone make? You know, 770 Island?
770 Island, of course. It you know, it makes the smoke monster rattle sound, you know.
Oh.
It sounds a little bit, here, I'm gonna do my impression of it. It sounds like this.
Oh, whoa, that was perfect. How'd you do that?
I just, years of watching the show and just practice.
It sounded just like a taxi ticker system.
Yeah, I think that's part of what they used for that sound effect, right?
Wow.
All right, well,
what's your happy hour?
Yeah, I'll keep mine brief and make no bad jokes. Well, I'll ask you, Ben, because I need some clarification on if this is one I've used before. At the end of the month is Halloween, in which local neighborhood youths go from door to door gathering candies from all the neighbors, right? Have I talked about my love of handing out full-sized candy bars on Halloween?
Let me search.
I'm guessing no, because I'm pretty sure I started it in the hiatus between 2020 and 2024 when we brought the show back.
I'm checking. I saw something called murder candy, but I think we're good.
Okay, good. You know, growing up, Ben, the exciting thing about trick-or-treating is when you'd find that house that hands out full-sized candy bars.
True.
And I decided that I wanted to be that house. Plus, it'll please the local neighborhood youths and maybe persuade them to not throw eggs and toilet paper at my house.
Mmm.
Which is a real ongoing concern, because I remember growing up, somebody toilet papered our house.
Oh, did they?
Yes. As it turned out, later on, it was actually my brother who toilet papered his own house, because I don't think he fully understood how that worked. But yes, that did happen.
Yeah, because did he have to clean it up then?
I think he did end up cleaning it up, yes.
Oh, man.
I play it smart financially, because if you look around, eventually you can get the multi-packs of full-size candy bars on sale, like a buy one get one free deal, and when I do, I just stock up on them and try to, you know, guess roughly how many people are gonna come through. I play between like 50 and 70 usually, because trick-or-treating, at least around these parts, has fallen out of favor. I think it's kind of been surpassed by like trunk or treat events, like at churches and stuff like that, which are officially sanctioned. People don't go to strangers' houses begging for candy as much, but it does happen. And when it does, I like to reward them with a full-sized candy bar.
Wow, you are a hero.
But, you know, this year I've got a kid who will be trick-or-treating, so I'll probably be out with him doing that. So I think maybe, even though I've done it the past few years, this year I might leave the lights off and roll the dice and see if I get toilet papered or egged.
Uh-oh. Especially if they know that you're the house and they're expecting that.
That's true. I have kind of set the precedent that this is where you go for that, and I don't know. I'm a little bit worried, but in the past, it was always worth it, because these little kids would be so over-the-top jazz about full-size candy bars, like giving each other high fives, pumping their fists, saying, oh yeah, full bar, and, you know.
It's, Picking you up on their shoulders and carrying you around the neighborhood.
Exactly. Reaching into their pocket and pulling out wads of cash and throwing it at my feet. It's really,
they don't understand Halloween very well.
Yeah, no,
that's just paying for candy.
They think it's like a paid transaction.
What is your little boy going to dress up as for Halloween?
Probably like a dinosaur. I had my eye on this, kind of like a dinosaur onesie situation, because he's still fairly young. He doesn't have input on what he's going to dress up as.
What about a Three Musketeer?
Well, he'd have to have... Oh, no. This is my personal cell phone, Ben.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, that's probably just like... What? Your kid?
Yeah, he doesn't know how phones work.
Oh. Family member, maybe? Work?
I don't know. I'm afraid, but I'll go ahead and answer it.
You have the full version of it, too.
Of course. Why? I'm not going to use a partial version of the theme song for my ringtone. I'd go for the extended. That's,
was it your kid?
No, not unless there's something really wrong with him. That was that's the sound, man. The sound, it happened again.
Is the sound man related to the music man?
No, the sound comma man, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, our segment is called the music man that we have.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we should do that one. That's been kind of a long time since we've had that.
Well, in about a year, we have a concert.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be a good time to bring that back.
Definitely before then. But yeah, so we're okay.
I don't know if I've got it in me to continue the podcast.
No, we have. We've already started. We can't stop.
Here, we'll just let's. I'm gonna go through the studio. I'm gonna turn off every phone in the building, and then once the phones can't ring, we'll be fine.
Okay, good idea. Should we do that in our break?
Yeah, let's go ahead and move over to Bummer Patrol while I do that. Oh man, Ben, Bummer Patrol. We talk about what's got us down. I know I'm pretty down about our current phone situation, but if you have something else you want to talk about being bummed out about, now would be a good time to share it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of this, right? Is to tell our worries and hope that other people don't have to worry about their own stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, man. Tell your truth.
All right, my truth. So have you, Brian, ever had to go to a car dealership and do car dealership stuff there?
Oh, boy, have I. I wish that was not the case, because I did not have a great time.
No, neither did I. About a month ago, maybe? I don't know time. Time is weird. It's a weird soup. Excuse me. My dad's car died. It died. And it was going to cost, it was a truck. It was going to cost far too much, like the engine died or something.
At that point, it just makes sense to buy a new vehicle.
Yes. And so my mom recruited me to help out. She called around a few places trying to find something that's good for the price that she was willing to pay. And repeatedly, from what I have heard, they would say they had it, and then like the next day when she would get ready to go, they would suddenly be like, oh, well, actually, that actually got sold since the time that we said it was here. But we have other things if you're interested.
And that, pretty shady stuff.
It happened like 3 or 4 times. And one of the times I was even getting ready to go with her to the place because she was going to drive there. And if the car was purchased, someone would have to drive the second car.
Sure. And then you volunteered. You said, I'll drive that Tanka.
I did. That's not a bad joke. Okay, we're good.
Not even a joke. That is a reference with no meaning.
We'll have to watch out for a different monster, I think, for old references.
the pointless reference monster is coming for us.
Oh, no. Pointless is a pretty good game show from the UK. Anyway. I have a board game similar to it, but that is for another time. So, you know, once I was getting ready and about to go and found out, nope, that car was mysteriously gone again. So, this is now the 4th or 5th attempt. I finally got to go with. We drove 45 minutes to an hour north to a place up in the hills, the Ozark Mountains.
No, where the hill people live.
Yeah, the people who live in the hills, I guess, would be called hill people. So, I guess, yeah.
Sure, the hills people, like Spencer Pratt, there was Lauren Conrad, the kids from MTV's The Hills.
Can you imagine Hank Hill on there? Wonder what would that be like? Family Guy flashback. I can't pull that off.
Dang it, Bobby, I told I don't have Hank Hill in my pocket.
You can't do Hank Hill on the hills?
I don't know enough about the hills to make the reference specific enough.
Imagine if Hank Hill was on the Beverly Hills Billies.
The Beverly Hills Billies?
Yeah, that's what they're called.
I don't know. I can do Boomhauer. Can Boomhauer be there?
Yeah, yeah.
You called my bluff, Ben. I can't do Boomhauer.
No. Okay. Anyway. So we went north into those hills. And we got there. So I'm sure most listeners know some of this experience. I do not, because the time that we bought our newish car, which is another happy hour to get to at some point, I did it almost entirely online and over the phone.
This was like peak pandemic, right, Ben? You did like a no contact car purchase.
We got it in 2023 in the spring.
Oh, I thought it was longer ago than that. So
no.
Not peak pandemic. We were over the hump at that point.
Yes, we'd flattened that curve. We had recently, like, I don't need to talk about how we got the car. That's a different story. But I did it mostly online or over the phone. Well, this time I was there. We showed up. We parked somewhere. A guy eventually came out, and it was the one that Mom was waiting to meet. His name, apparently, is Cody Code Red.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, his last name is Code Red?
I mean, I was doubtful, but then we went inside and sat in his office at one point, and his little plaque thing said Cody Code Red.
Like Code Red, all one word?
I think so. And he has a website with a similar name. I don't know if, is it like, do car dealer people have stage names?
I didn't think so, but maybe.
I mean, and I would worry, because Code Red usually is not a good thing, I guess, unless Mountain Dew, which you could still argue maybe isn't.
Probably not great for your health, but maybe, yeah, maybe he just drinks a lot of Dew. He does the Dew a lot.
He does the Dew?
Yeah, he does the Dew, because he lives up in the hills.
Oh, and hill people love Mountain Dew. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
It was originally marketed as a hillbilly-themed beverage, is what I'm saying.
I mean, to be fair, also historically, Mountain Dew, isn't that like a type of moonshine?
Maybe, you know, I don't know a lot about moonshine. Maybe there's a Mountain Dew. I know there's the apple pie that, of course, character actor Margot Martindale used to poison people on the second season of Justified. We all know this.
Oh my God, Justified is so good. Anyway, Cody Code Red. So he came out to talk to us, and can you guess that car that Mom was looking at? Well, they got rid of that one last night. Apparently someone that he didn't know, like, sold it in the middle times.
So this happened like 4 or 5 times?
Yeah, to the point where I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it just feels like they have good looking cars for cheap prices on there. And that's not what they have. They just have ones that show up on the website. So you will come in and then already have your mind partly in like the mode of like having like, your brain has already decided that you are going to buy something. So when you get there, they don't have it. Your brain's already partway there. They don't have to convince you as much.
Sure. That's what they call the old bait and switch.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That is the actual word for that. He went back inside to go check to see if there are other cars. Then he'd come back out after we waited out there for like 5-10 minutes looking at the stuff that was around. He'd come out with a few options. And then you have to go back in to figure something else out. And that happened 3 or 4 times, the out and in, with him in the building and us standing outside. And in the middle parts, while we were outside alone, we had so many other people approach us trying to make sure that we were helped, because they were in the water. They were sniffing it out.
Sure. These folks, they work on commission, I believe.
I think so. So Mom kept trying to say, like, no, this is the amount that I want to pay. I do not want to pay a more expensive price and pay in installments, which is what every person and Cody Code Red kept trying to convince. Like, well, you know, if you spend a little bit more, you can pay it. Like, no, that is not. She already explicitly said that's not what she wanted. We eventually found one that was good enough, and we got to take it for a little test drive. Mom was driving. I was in the passenger. He sat in the back driver's side. It was a little rumbly, which made me kind of nervous, but it was fine. It ran fine enough. But
a little, like a, how, so you say a little rumbly, are you talking like your stomach after you eat Taco Bell for dinner? Like, how rumbly is it?
Oh, no, no, it was not rumbly in my tumbly.
Okay.
Yeah, no, no, this was more like, sometimes felt like you were driving on gravel when you were driving on pavement.
Okay. So it was not a smooth ride.
No. But we took it for a little test drive, like down the road and into a neighborhood. But the weirdest thing is that every time that we would come to like a curve, Cody Code Red in the backseat would quietly go, "Wee!" Like every curve, I think.
I mean, he enjoys what he does. He's having fun at work. He can't be mad at that.
I mean, they weren't like big, intense, fun curves. It was just like a little wee every time.
So, but so it was like almost like under his breath, like wee.
It was a little quiet. Like, it was loud enough that at one point he tried to explain it. We didn't ask, but he tried to explain. He said it was because it was ADHD, but I have ADHD and I don't know that I would wee on every curve.
Oh, sure, sure. You're not like a dog with an erect bladder. Oh, I forgot. Ah, oh, Ben.
Brent, is that your phone from 24?
It is. It's my Jack Bauer replica phone.
Oh, is it a replica of Jack Bauer?
It's a miniature version of Jack Bauer. Look, they even paid for Kiefer Sutherland's likeness. It looks just like him.
Whoa, it's the part where he's tied to the chair and being tortured.
I know, this is a collector's item. I didn't even think it worked, to be honest. I just bought it as a showpiece.
Oh, well, should we answer it or just ignore it?
I'm going to just turn it off. Let's see what happens. I'm going to send it straight to voicemail, and we'll just continue. I don't. Ben, I...
Uh-oh, that's mine.
What? Well, your phone?
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to turn mine off in between the break. It's my replica Jason Statham from Crank Phone.
Oh, the Crank Phone.
I better answer it, because what if it's like Megan?
Okay, all right, go ahead. Put it on speakerphone so I can hear it too. Oh, nope, hang it up.
Wait, what if that's Megan though?
What would she be trying to tell you?
She's saying, "Wap, wow,
wow, wow."
She's saying, "Wap, wow, wow, wow."
What is she saying, "Wap, wow," in reference to?
I don't know. I'd have to ask her.
Ben, I think it's time for us to just really deal with the fact that we're living in a scary story. This is the phone groaner.
No, this can't be the tale of the phone groaner.
I think we're living the tale of the phone groaner.
Anyway, yeah, Cody Code Red took the test drive, decided on it. We had to go inside and sit at his little table where he had Cody Code Red on his little name plaque. He had to go, of course, and talk to someone. There's always the part where they have to go and talk to their manager who can, you know, help figure out the price.
Oh, sure. It's like they're going to talk to the banker from Deal or No Deal.
Yep. See, this is why we need a Professor Werewolf, because I was also about to say that. But we couldn't do No Deal because Dad needed a car for work. I forgot at one point, even like all of these cars had a paper with like a QR code and some info about the car on the side of it. So you could scan it and look up what the price is on their website. So one of the times a guy came out to be like, "Oh, well, I don't know about this and that." I'd already looked it up and told Mom the price of one of them. And he seemed like legit kind of surprised that someone knew a price of one of the cars. We'd wait by his desk for a while. And then after Mom signed some stuff, we had to go over to the other building where the financial guy was. We had to sit there for a while. And while waiting there, at some point, this beef jerky seller guy came in and Cody Code Red bought some and then tried to share the jerky with us.
Wait, what? Like a door-to-door jerky salesman?
Yeah, but a dealership-to-dealership jerky salesman.
Wait, so he just sells jerky to car dealerships?
I guess. I mean, he had his car outside and he was in there for like 15 minutes just kind of standing around. Also, this dealership had a food truck that we were told about, but we weren't there for a food truck.
Oh, I can't pass up a food truck, Ben. What if they had good food?
Yeah, but that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to, like, get real comfortable so then get your guard down.
And then, boom, you spend $10,000 more than you expected on a car.
Yeah, they're trying to jerk you up so that way
get you all jerky drunk.
Jerky drunk. Yeah, yeah, that's what they're doing. And then, like, right before we got to go in and see the finance guy, which took forever, Cody Code Red came out of there and said, hey, good news. I saved you some money on the final price, which is, like, their last thing they try to do. And what it was just they just delayed doing the taxes or, like, the title change stuff and said, yeah, do that on your own later.
Right, right.
Which is fine, but they didn't save us money. They just took it off of their stuff.
Mm.
I don't know.
Huh. It reminds, I mean, yeah, car dealerships are terrible. I've had bad experiences myself. It reminds me of, I think, do you remember the character that William H. Macy played in Fargo?
Yeah.
He's like, you're going to really want this undercoat, though.
Yep.
I think that's a pretty good depiction of car dealership people.
Yeah, I think so. I almost got it confused with Martin Freeman in Fargo season one, but he's an insurance salesman.
Ah, yes. Well, yeah, it is. They're very similar, so I get that.
But oh my God. And then on the way home, we had to pull over at one point because we worried that one of the new tires was flat because, like, tire lights were on. Oh yeah, I forgot this too. The tires weren't flat, luckily. And then fixing the tires or getting new tires for it, the car apparently runs fine now.
Oh, well, that's good.
In terms of bumpiness, yeah. But the car does not turn on easily. You have to do something weird with the key to make it turn on. You have to, get it in partway, turn it a little bit, get it in more, and then turn it more.
That's worrying. I don't love that.
Yeah, we didn't find out until Mom got home and tried to show Dad the car, I think is what it was. Because every time that we got in the car, he had already turned it on and started it.
Mm. You think he did it on purpose? He was trying to hide this defect from you?
Well, when Mom called him, he, like, told her, like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's a little weird to turn on. Here's how you do it.
It's like, oh, I know exactly what you mean. You gotta do the thing.
Like, yeah, I didn't tell you about it when you left because I turned the car on two or three separate times for you.
Ah, what a snake.
Yeah. Code Red.
And then I meant to ask you earlier, Ben, when he was saying we at all the turns and then claimed it was because he had ADHD. Did you say to him, Code Red, I have ADHD. I know people with ADHD. ADHD is a friend of mine. And you, Code Red, have no ADHD. That's my quote from season 3 of Lost.
Oh, yeah, that famous Lost quote. We need to think of some more Lost quotes, like something about, like, binders of women or something.
Oh, sure. I mean, there are probably some really great Lost quotes that'll come to us later on.
Okay, well, that's my bum patrol. It turned out okay in the end, but it was irritating to do. Not like on my mom's part. I didn't mind helping out. Not that, because she's hearing this. And that's also not what I meant. I just meant the car dealership itself was annoying for, I think, both of us.
Sure, sure. That's, you're a good son for helping out, but car dealerships are not fun for anyone.
No. I mean, and I had a lot of the same issues on the phone and internet, but that's for when I tell the story of us getting our new car.
The tale of us getting our new car.
Nope, that one doesn't get it.
Oh, okay.
You can't just make the fire happen anytime.
Okay, well, then I guess I'll share my bummer patrol this week. Ben, I know a couple of weeks ago I was bragging about how my Apple AirPod, singular, because I only have one, survived several times through the washing machine.
Yeah, you even sent in, like, an update call.
Yeah, it happened again. So there, it's still fine. It still works. But it ties into my bummer patrol this week is having a toddler in the house now, no longer a baby. We've moved on to the full-on toddler stage. There's a lot of toddling going around.
Ooh.
The other day, I was we just had breakfast, and I'm sitting on the sofa drinking coffee, watching Sesame Street. He's watching it too. We're both watching it.
Okay.
And no, I'm watching Sesame Street. I'm like, look, do what you're gonna do. I need to catch up on last season of Sesame Street. I need to catch up on these storylines.
It's so serialized nowadays.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, ever since Lost came out, Sesame Street really leaned into the long form storytelling.
And you only get like 8 or 12 episodes, and you have to wait 2 years for more.
I know. It's just, I mean, yeah, it is like, well, it is like a streaming only show now that it's on HBO Max. I mean, just Max.
That is so dumb.
Anyway, and I had my AirPod case on the table in front of me, and he sees it and picks it up and takes off, which is not uncommon. He likes to grab things and run. So I go to follow him at a leisurely pace. I'm like, hey, man, where are you going with that? I'm like, come here. He runs into the kitchen to where the dog food and water bowl is, and he throws my AirPods into the dog water bowl.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why, Ben.
Why is it the first thing he thinks to do?
Well, so it's part of a pattern of him like throwing things in the water bowl. He started with his rubber duck that he takes a bath with. So that made sense. It floated. And then he put some other things in there, and I guess he decided, he saw the AirPods. He thought, well, I'm going to throw this in the water now.
Has he like seen you do dishes?
Yeah, but he doesn't get a good look at it. It's all, happening taller than he is.
Oh no. Did they survive?
Oh yeah, no, they're great. They're fine. I can't stop talking about how great these AirPods are. They're definitely worth like the $100 I spent on them like 3 or 4 years ago.
Or the one that you have?
Yeah, my one AirPod. The thing, I mean, they're very good against water, but if you're a dummy and you just like lose one, that's not their fault. That's a me thing.
You know what would make that less likely to happen is if the AirPods had some sort of like tether or rope or something that attached them to something bigger.
I guess, yeah, if there was like a string that tied the AirPod to your phone, then it would be easier to keep up with. You're right. I'll write Tim Cook, Tim Apple, and I'll let him know that they need to work on that.
Oh, good. Now you're cooking.
Ben, that's, I forgot, the old timey payphone that's just outside the studio.
I thought you, outside, we're hearing it through the window?
Yeah, here.
You know, that's very far down. We're in the tip of the pyramid.
I know. I don't.
Wait, which phone booth is this?
This is the phone booth from the movie Phone Booth.
From the movie Payphone?
From the movie Payphone. That's the famous Colin Farrell movie Payphone.
What about the Bill and Ted one, or the one Superman changes in?
Oh, I mean, we don't have that one. We don't have a TARDIS either. Oh, look, there's a guy passing by down there. I'll get him to answer the phone. Hey, you! Pick up that phone for me. He hangs up. He looks confused now. What? Who was it? What did it sound like? Yeah, that's it. Okay, thank you. That was the phone groaner, Ben.
That the guy out there?
No. Although I think that we might have, maybe we passed it on to him. Maybe it's like an It Follows situation.
Oh, exactly like It Follows.
Not exactly like It Follows, but
okay, good.
similar in some ways.
More like The Ring. Can you pass it off to someone?
I don't think The Ring has It Follows rules. Maybe.
I thought there was some way to delay your own time, but maybe not.
By passing it on to somebody else. And I think that's just It Follows.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Okay. Or, oh, you know what? Did you see Blumhouse's Truth or Dare?
There were two different Truth or Dares that came out around the same time, and I don't remember which. I might have seen both. One I didn't like more than the other one.
This one, spoiler alert for Truth or Dare, not very good horror movie from a few years ago. One has them making the game viral to where everyone's playing it to delay it getting back to them again. So I guess it's kind of like it follows rules in that way.
Okay, I think that's not the one I saw.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not great.
Oh, I have one question about the toddler now.
Yes, go ahead.
Is the toddler an Ernie fan because of the rubber ducky thing?
No. Here's the thing, Ben. And this is, you know, you're scooping a future Bummer Patrol for me, but that's okay. I'll be brief. Sesame Street still going after, I think they're in like season 54, 55, something like that. So very cool that it's still on. And, you know, watching some of these older episodes, I realized that it's hugely influential on me in a way I didn't realize, in terms of like just the humor. I think it's like maybe the first show that I thought was very funny. But anyway, my complaint is that my favorite characters that meant a lot to me are kind of, they're in the background. They're less important. They've kind of been pushed aside for new characters like Elmo and Abby Kadabby. And they've got these Muppets that are like, they're supposed to be human kids, but they're Muppets. And I don't know. It's weird. I don't love that. So, you know, Ernie and Bert and Grover are all there, but they're, you know, they don't really get the shine like they used to.
From The Shining? Exactly. They have semi-psychic abilities.
Yeah, of course. That
old Doc Halloran shows up on the show.
That's right, yeah. Doc Halloran shows up and tells Ernie about how he has the shine.
CBA. CBA.
Well, I mean, the weird thing about Sesame Street is if you told me right now that they did a Shining parody, you'd be like, yeah, okay, probably.
I'd assume.
They did like Game of Thrones and Law and Order SVU. Why not The Shining?
Exactly. Oh, well, all right. I'm feeling safer from the phone groaner now.
I mean, I can't imagine. I think we've gone through all the phones, so I can't imagine, you know, I think we're okay. Anyway. Sorry, I'm rattled. Let's just move on to our next segment, which is, I forgot. What do we call this segment, Ben?
The Puzz Buzz.
Puzz Buzz. All right. Our recurring segment in which we review, talk about, and celebrate all things puzzles.
Puzzles. And we do have to be a little careful because we don't want, I mean, we did conquer him, right? We shrunk him down somehow.
Yeah, we did. I think we sent him to the Phantom Zone like in Superman.
Are we allowed to say his name?
I think we should play it safe and not say it.
Okay, all right. I'll say it doesn't rhyme with, but it's similar to Fizzbiz.
Yes, but not the same.
No. Not from what we heard in her email. So what kind of puzzles do you have to buzz about, Brian?
Well, the newest puzzle on everyone's lips is, I mean, of course, I spend most of my puzzling time on my New York Times puzzle app, New York Times Games. Previously, we talked about the options for crosswords. You have your standard crossword and the mini crossword.
Mm-hmm.
But since we've last had the segment, they've introduced a third mid-tier crossword called the MIDI.
Oh, it's just admittedly mid?
It's, yeah, it's like just kind of like, eh, like a shrug, like it's okay.
Oh.
No, it's very good. It's called the MIDI because it's a medium-sized puzzle.
Because it's an not old-timey, but like a 90s music file?
Yeah, like a old computer music file. They call it the MIDI.
We're doing a crossword that's entirely in old-timey music or computer music seems hard.
But it's you know, it's good though because for me, I was kind of hungry for a puzzle that size because you've got your mini puzzle, which, you know, if you get stumped a little bit, it might takes me like a couple minutes to go through. And then you've got the full-size puzzle, which most days I don't finish at all. So this medium puzzle is kind of perfect for me if I've got like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes to sit down and just want to complete something before I move on to, you know, whatever I'm doing. Just something to do in the morning while I'm having my coffee and scrambled eggs.
Oh, so you're like Goldilocks in it.
Exactly. This one is just right.
That sounds fun. I have not checked those out yet. We still do some of the New York Times puzzles at night, but we don't really do the middies at all. But that sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably the crossword probably doesn't lend itself as well to being played with multiple people. I mean, a little bit. Not as much as like the spelling bee, which I know you guys are big on.
Oh, yeah, that we do that one a lot at night. Because doing like a jumble like that is easier to do, I guess, co-op. We can do a crossword, but we don't want to like jump around. And yeah, it's a whole thing.
You guys could do competitive crosswords where you start the same puzzle at the same time and see who can finish it first.
Oh, maybe we should do that.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound fun.
but it was fun a second ago.
Well, I don't think I have a chance of winning, so that makes it less fun for me.
No, you definitely would have a chance of winning. I'm rusty.
Well, Rusty, what kind of puzzles have you been playing?
Well, there is this video game that I want to talk about. It is called Return of the Obra Dinn.
Ooh, I am familiar with this, yes.
Have you played it?
Not yet. It's on my wish list.
It became one of my favorite games I've ever played after I played it.
Ooh, it's in your all-time top 10 list?
It is. It is a first-person monochrome puzzle game where it's like a deductive reasoning game where you are... Now, this part's going to sound boring. It's like in the 1800s, and you are like an insurance adjuster, figure out, investigator. That's probably the word. You're an insurance investigator in somewhere in the UK or something. And this ship that was thought to have been lost for, I think, a few years has suddenly turned up in the harbor. And you are tasked with going aboard the ship and figuring out what happened. You want to figure out what you can about, because you have like the crew list, you know that. You know, you have like a little map too. You're given this like weird book that you've gotten from somewhere in a package. And you have this compass. And so you travel around the ship and you can find like a dead body somewhere on the ship. Because, I mean, it's been gone a long time. Something real bad happened on this ship. You go and look at it and you suddenly get a sort of a flashback to the like 15 seconds before that person died, like leading right up to it. But you don't see it. You hear it and you get like the text on the screen for like the subtitles of what's being said. And then right at the end of that, you usually hear the sound that was the cause of death, like a gunshot or an axe or whatever happened. And then you're suddenly in the scene where you can see like the moment that it happens and everyone is like still figures in the scene. You can see like furniture overturned. You might see like a bullet trail in the air. And you have to look at what everyone is like wearing, who was saying what, probably, to narrow down what each person's... Because you have the ledger that has everyone who was on the ship originally and their jobs and like their port of origin. So you have to figure out based on what's being said. Like someone might go, "Oh, Captain, let me in." And the captain's like, "No, get out of here." And then you hear like a gunshot. And you can tell based on which person is standing in the captain's cabin who that is. And that can narrow it down some, but you might not know their name yet. So you have to figure that out. And sometimes you won't know who someone is until you see them in more flashbacks. So you have to identify them by what they're wearing. You go like, "Oh, this is that guy from that other scene a while ago." And you can kind of connect the dots to figure out like, wait, he had a Scottish accent in this scene. And over in that scene, someone referred to him as the chef. But eventually you can narrow down who each person is. And it's on a ship, and it's not all like just piratey stuff going on. Now, the very first part looks like some kind of mutiny happened, and there's something that has to do with shells and you don't fully know. But it quickly ramps up into different chapters of wild sea adventures. And you have like 40 or 50 people to identify. You don't even have to identify all of them. You only need to get a certain percent to end the game.
Okay. But you can get them all if you want 100% it.
You can. And it was so fun, I thought. Like, if you want to go 100%, you might need to... Well, I mean, even not 100%ing. It's the kind of game that would benefit from taking a few notes as you go. So you don't have to like run back and forth to re-watch scenes, even though that's helpful too. Oh. And you kind of learn more about how the game even works as you go. And I wish I could forget the game entirely and just play it again.
Ah, if you could. So you're telling me if you could Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, any game out of your mind to replay, this is the one you'd pick?
Yeah, it would have been The Witness before, but now definitely this one. The next best thing is finding someone and making them play it while I watch them.
Oh, yes, yes. Living vicariously through a new player. I've been on the receiving end of this. You watched me play the Stanley Parable for the first time.
A little bit, yeah. And if you ever want to play this game, I would happily watch you play so much of it, because just the moment when things start to click about who a person is so fun. I watched Megan play all the way through it, and it was interesting seeing what she reasoned and figured out compared to what I did. So like some people I found out earlier, some people she found out earlier. Sometimes it was because she did something like notice the shoes someone was wearing, which I didn't do.
Interesting. So Return of the Obra Dinn. I have a question. This is very important to me as somebody who has taken like almost a year to watch 30 episodes of Twin Peaks. How long does it take to finish the game?
I guess some of that depends on how quickly you figure some stuff out. But it is not that long of a game. It's by the maker of Papers, Please, for anyone who's played that game. And has incredible music, which I'm going to put in the background here for a little bit. Because, oh my God, I want to play it again right now, but I know too much.
You think if you stepped away from it for many years and came back, then you'll be able to look at it fresh, or is it going to stick with you forever? Like when I recently replayed Braid for the first time in like several years, and I was like, oh no, I remember all these answers.
Yeah, no, that was kind of how Braid was for me too. The thing is, there are some things I'm not going to remember. I'm not going to know the exact names of who's who, but I do have in my brain a lot of the connections that I made to solve a lot of it already. So I'm like, oh, I know that the people who were wearing this were this rank, which I didn't figure out until like later in the game, when you might see like a certain uniform hanging in like a steward's room or something. And you're like, oh, all the people who are wearing that might be stewards. And then like that helps you like retroactively understand things that you thought you understood already. Sometimes you do. Oh, this is what's also cool is I forgot this last thing. They don't confirm anything until you have three people exactly right.
Hmm.
And one thing I forgot about that too is you don't just need to figure out matching a person's. Okay, let me back up for a second again. In the book, you get along with the ledger of people, there's also like a portrait of everybody on the ship, because sometimes the people on a ship would have a photographer or an artist. The Titanic had a photographer who was on it just long enough to get off before it left the UK entirely, luckily.
Huh.
Before that, there was an artist sometimes.
Did you learn this at the Titanic Museum in Branson, Missouri?
Once we found out there was a photographer, and there were a lot of pictures that were there specifically because of that guy, I was like, oh, like Return of the Obra Dinn, the artist guy who's on there. So you see all the people in that picture. So you have to match those faces with the names in the ledger. And you also have to write in how they died. And it won't tell you that you're right until you have three of them exactly right, which helps stop you from like just forcing your way through it all, which I think is a really, really smart system for it. Because a lot of times I put in kind of guesses to hold off for later. I'm like, well, I know that this is one of the stewards, but I don't know which steward yet. So I could put that in, and then later on I can go back and see what was right and what was wrong, and you know, fill it as I go.
That's pretty smart. They keep you from being able to brute force your way through it like like me trying to get all the words on the spelling bee.
How is the spelling bee going for you?
It's going pretty well. I did, earlier this week, I got Queen Bee for the first time, which is, the rank you get for getting all the possible words.
Whoa, congrats.
Now, I did use hints. There's a hint system that I have not utilized up to this point. I used the hints to get the last few, to finish it off, but, you know, it was still... It was exciting, and I do hope to one day get a queen bee with no hints.
I didn't even know there were hints until you told me that they existed. So we tried them one day, and some of it is what I wish the game already had a little bit of. But I think I'm used to, there's this game on a website called Pogo called Word Womp, which is a jumble similar. I mean, you can't re... Can you? You can't, I think you can't reuse letters. But as you go, it shows you like how many three-letter words there are, and it fills it in as you go, and they're alphabetical, so you can kind of narrow down where you have to aim for.
Yeah, they don't make the hints system super prevalent, so it's easy to miss. But I do like the they do have like a grid that tells you like how many words start with these two letters, so you can go through and see if you're missing any. So it's useful, and then. I don't know. Did you check just the regular hint page, or did you go to the community hint page as well?
Oh, we did not know about the community hint page. What's on that one?
Now, the community hint page is like it takes you to like a forum where they'll like curate the top versions of answers, but they will just give you like written clues for words. That's like, oh, this 8-letter word is, you know, they're different levels of hints. Some of them, I like the ones that are vague because, you know, I just need like a little kind of nudge, and then others are a little more, you know, direct.
Well, I need to look at that. That sounds fun. Like, I'd want to write some of those, but I do the spelling bee. I'm always like a little delayed on when we do that one. Maybe someday you'll get Queen Bee and you'll really be buzzing.
No, damn, Ben.
What?
Oh. Remember when we used to record over Skype?
Yeah. Is that your Skype flashback noise playing?
On my iPad, I'm getting a Skype call.
Oh, who do you think it is?
Ben, I think you know who it is. You just made that great joke.
ICLTN?
No, if only. Later renamed FizzBiz, no. All right, let's do this. Ahoy, hoy. All right. And listen, I don't know who you are or why you keep doing this, but you're never going to stop this podcast from happening. This is what we do. We've been doing it for over 15 years. We're not afraid.
Oh, Brian, calm down.
We can't be harassed like this in our own podcast studio.
Well, I am sorry. I can't not make bad jokes.
I know. I don't blame you, Ben. It's in your bones. It's who you are.
It's deep in my bones.
Is that a reference to something?
No, I was just saying it.
Okay. Because yeah, I almost got like a Pete from Twin Peaks vibe the way you said it.
Really? Yeah. No, and my bones are just full of puns. I can't stop it.
Oh, I'm glad we didn't have the new today on this week, because that would have just really escalated the situation to a point that would have boiled over even sooner. That's fine. It's fine.
For the third time this episode, I was almost literally going to say that, like right in that moment.
we're at the point, we've been doing this podcast for so long, we can finish each other's incomplete thoughts, Ben. What? Incomplete thoughts. What?
Oh, sorry. I was confused.
Oh, it's okay.
I had no idea.
Well, let's just keep our head down. Let's muscle through to the end of the podcast. We're almost done, and then we can just get the heck out of here and go home. Go home to our families and just live to podcast another day.
Oh, should we do feedback?
Do we have feedback?
We have that podcaster quiz we can do, but we can hold it off if we don't have time.
Let's try feedback.
Mail time.
Hey, you know what that means?
Mail time.
Welcome. You've got mail. Goodbye.
That's right. Time for the feedback portion of the show. If you'd like to contact us, the best way to do that is to shoot an email to happycastfeedback@gmail.com. Feel free to write or send us a voicemail and we'll play it here on the show. And that's basically it. So, Ben, what kind of feedback do we have this week?
Well, we have from my mom. She has sent informal feedback where she told me a thing and I forgot to talk about it on the episode.
Oh, great, great. What? And then also, I don't know if we mentioned it here on the podcast yet, but we're recording this on her birthday. So happy birthday to Bess, Ben's mother.
Yes, happy birthday to Ben's mom.
Okay, so what was her feedback?
So do you remember when we talked about Mr. Bucket?
Yeah, buckets of fun.
Yeah, she told me that she did get me one at one point when I was a child, and that I did not like it, and I think was afraid of it.
I mean, he's got his kind of creepy face, so I don't blame you. He's got what the kids today would call a bad vibe.
Bad riz.
He has negative riz.
That's a negative riz bucket if I've ever seen one.
This bucket doesn't have a drop of riz in it.
Uh-oh. Oh, Brian!
Oh, no. I don't even know which phone is this. I thought we've gone through them all.
I'm just going to pick it up and hang it up.
Okay, great. Oof, okay. Well, just keep going.
That's all that one. I opened up the pod score quiz, and I think not right now, because this is average quiz completion time is 21 minutes, so pass.
Okay, that'll be a future segment then.
Yeah, probably, and a lot of spam a lot.
All right. Do we have any voice feedbacks?
Yes, we have two.
Oh, cool.
Do you want to hear the one that says it is from Stevis Junst, or the other one that is from an email I do not recognize? New listener, I guess.
Ooh, new listeners are fun, but we're going to give priority to returning favorite, Stevis Junst.
Hello to all you happy cast. I'm Stevis Junst, to talk for movies. Beagle Junst. Beagle Junts, it's not my dog, it's a movie of goats. There is scary and funny and reading. Don't say it three times. There's also Soul Train, so it is a full star. There's another movie too also. It is You Gots to Believe. This is some Texas and is kids with baseballs. They kids are not very baseball, but they have to play in the world. It is true, and some is sad. But, hey, they meet Japan boys, so it is a full star. That's pretty good for baseball. Hey, movies.
All right, Stevis Junst with two brand new movie reviews. The first, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, from his cousin, I think, because isn't that his name, like Steve Junst, Beetlejuice?
Well, no, he said Beagle Junts, but he said it's not his dog. It's a movie about goats.
Oh, yeah. I have seen that, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I saw it too. It's a fun time. I would also give it a full star.
Yeah. They do like three different plots at once, but it was so fun, I don't care.
That's true. I mean, if you really wanted to dig into it, it did kind of have a little bit of a vibe of... They sat down, they're like, okay, what should we do for a Beetlejuice sequel? Came up with like 10 ideas and said, you know what? We're going to do them all. We're going to do all the ideas.
And they were fun.
It was fun. I'm not mad about it. It was an enjoyable time. And then you've got to believe, I think. That's a new one, but it's about baseball and the World Series and gets a positive review. So I will, you know, keep an eye out for that to pop up on YouTube or where
YouTube.
I've been watching a lot of movies on YouTube lately.
Like illegally or like through their rent option?
I don't know if it's legal or not. They're just there. They're older movies. So
are they all in like 10-minute increments and like tilted slightly and like sped up a little bit and like really small on the screen?
No, they're actually very good quality. Last night I was watching The Devil and Daniel Webster, which is from 1941, and it's the full video. It's been up for many years, and the quality is very good. I don't know if it's like a rights thing, if it's public domain or what the deal is, but yeah, you know, you can find all movies on YouTube sometimes.
Yeah, I'm going to assume public domain. From when's that from? 54?
1941.
41. Wow.
Yeah, it's an oldie, but a goodie, I think, unless it really drops off in the last 45 minutes. I will talk about it in the future.
Yeah, that sounds real spooky.
The devil's in it, Ben. Old Scratch.
Oh, old Saint Nick himself?
Nope, different guy.
Oh, are you sure?
I think so. I don't think old Saint Nick is old Scratch. Old Saint Scratch.
Same letters.
It's true. Oh, maybe I've never seen them in the same place at the same time. Maybe we should dig into this closer to the holidays. We can blow the lid off this whole thing.
Imagine if you had, in like at the mall, there's like a Satan chair and a Santa chair.
Oh, yeah, it would be terrible to get those mixed up.
If like they have a Spirit Halloween still open next door to the Santa pictures.
I mean, I think Spirit Halloween should stay open year round. They could probably do the business to justify it.
I wonder what that would look like. Family Guy flashback. Are we allowed to just call those?
I think so. Are we going to go back and record them?
Someone else can animate all those.
Okay, good.
Just listeners, whenever you get to one of those, just close your eyes for like 15 seconds and imagine that situation.
Yeah, picture your own joke.
That's how we're gonna, you know, that's how we'll stay safe from the phone groaner.
Exactly. He can't come for us if we don't follow through on the execution.
If you just wait, is this the truth or dare thing? If we make them all think the jokes, is the phone groaner gonna come for them?
I don't know, man. Like, I hope so. I would definitely like to, you know, be like delay this as long as possible. But I mean, I think we're in the clear. There are no more phones around. We're at the end of the show. You said we've got one more piece of feedback from a new listener. Let's hear from the newbie and then hit the road.
Oh, yeah. On here, it just says that their name is PG.
Yeah, Ben.
I think when I hung up that phone, it sent it straight to voicemail.
I mean, I feel like I should have been able to see it coming, but it they got me. They got me again.
They got you again. Well, all right. Well, the good news is we're basically done, right?
Yeah, we're here. It's just we got to close it out. So thank you, everyone, for joining us here on another spooky October edition of Happy Cast with Ben and Brian. Please make sure to send in your feedback. Vote on the poll on the Facebook group. We've got our Sunday topping poll going on. We're recording this too close to the release to share the results yet, but it's off to an interesting start.
It is. Yeah, I like where it's headed so far.
But yeah, so that does it. So thank you for joining us. And until next time, remember, keep happy. Oh man, that was, you got me, Ben. You got me pretty good. That is a pretty scary story.
And a scary sound too, isn't it?
Very, very nerving. I did not enjoy the sound, to be honest.
And that one was actually had a morality lesson in it. Do you know what it was?
Don't tell great jokes.
No, don't tell bad jokes.
Oh, so from now on, we're dedicating ourselves to only telling good jokes.
Yes, yeah, only good ones. No more easy puns. No more lazy brain jokes, brain thoughts. I see. I can't even think of words. If I see, no, that's a problem.
No more stream of conscious, just opening your mouth and letting words fall out.
Yeah, no more of that. If it's an accidental pun, I think we might be okay, but we have to be careful. Do you want some s'mores then before we turn in?
Sure, I could go for some more s'mores.
Brian, did you bring your cordless house phone out here?
Yeah, it's the football phone I got for subscribing to Sports Illustrated back in the 90s.
I thought that one already rang. No, that was the hamburger phone.
That was the Juno hamburger phone.
In the story I told.
Yeah. Not exactly. Let's not get it twisted.
Wait. Don't answer it. What if it's the ghost face guy from Scream?
Okay, you're right here. I'm gonna throw this beautiful football phone into the fire.
Does that mean we're safe?
I think so. I mean, we can't be contacted. No phones. I think we can safely. Oh, man. You hear that, Ben? Is that coming from the woods?
It's not coming from the fire.
Out in the distance. There's something out there.
What is it? I can't see. It's too dark. Hey, phone groaner or whoever it is. Come out here. Come out here. We're in the light. I'm not scared of you.
Show yourself, coward.
It's me, the Paws Guzzler.
That's the podcast. Bye.